The Craft of Classic Bookmaking. I'm Suzanne Perez, and welcome to The Range. Coming up, a rare look at a piece of civil rights history.
I feel like for anyone who's really familiar with the writings and speeches of Dr. King, this is right up his wheelhouse.
But first, a new research space at Wichita State University is helping students learn about books by demonstrating how books are actually made. The Robert L. Cotoy Book Technologies Lab opened late last year on the sixth floor of Lindquist Hall. It features a collection of bookbinding and printing tools like wax tablets, typewriters, and old-fashioned quill pens. During a recent visit, English professor Katie Lanning was helping student Alexis Sheldon print her name using a replica of an 18th century printing press.
So put the A over here, like this. See how you, if you do that, your name's going to be upside down versus this? Just take letter by letter.
The Book Beetle machine is a tabletop letterpress that mimics a full-size Gutenberg press. It's one of several tools available in the new lab, which is the brainchild of Lanning and her English department colleague, Fran Connor. Lanning says she envisioned a space where English majors and other students could learn the physical aspects of creating a text.
Where it's not just about studying literature as this abstract work, it's about studying the material objects, the texts themselves, particular editions, how literature gets made.
When you visit the lab, you can try writing with a quill pen and ink. And a quick warning here, it's pretty messy. You can also learn how to bind a book or fold colored paper into your own zine. The makerspace is already a hit with history buffs and will serve as a resource for the English department's new minor in text technologies. When grad student Natalie Field tries the replica letterpress to write her name on a piece of cardstock, she realizes it isn't easy.
You know, I had to double check if my name was, you know, upside down or right side up. You have to mirror it in your head, so it takes a little bit longer. So it's very time consuming, it's very precise, but I think that just adds to the overall quality and effect of the things, because you know that a lot of time and care was put into it.
The book lab was funded by a donation from Lanning's family in memory of her late grandfather, Robert Cotoy. He was an engineer who loved reading and appreciated great literature. Lanning says he read every Agatha Christie mystery and recited poems by Ogden Nash.
When he passed, you know, he left his family a legacy of supporting education. And this space felt like a great way to honor that, because he was an engineer, but he loved literature, and this is a space that combines making things with reading things, so we've named the space after him.
That looks great.
Yay.
Very good. Do you want to try it on the nice paper?
Yeah.
Okay.
In a class called Technologies of the Book, Lanning teaches a medieval poem titled Pangerbon, about an Irish monk who works as a scribe, and his cat, who works all night hunting mice.
And so students read that poem in a regular English class, and it's a charming poem, and it reminds you that people have always loved cats, right? But after trying to write a manuscript, you understand a bit more of the frustration and the toil that is also a part of that poem. We want our students to have a different perspective on literature by understanding the labor that goes into making it.
There's more about WSU's Book Technologies Lab at kmuw.org. Nestled in the archives of the Museum of World Treasures in Wichita, there's an early draft of a speech written by civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr. The document from the 1960s is not on public display because curators worry that exposing it to light could damage it over time. For this month's In the Mix, Carla Eccles visited the museum to get a rare look.
King's document has never been on display at the museum. It's behind the scenes, kept under historical preservation in a climate-controlled room. Education manager Matt Dwyer.
Got to open it up out of our acid-free folder here.
Wow.
Yeah, and so it's got a handwritten portion here from Dr. King along with some typewriter bits, so it looks like it was probably the beginnings of a speech.
On one page.
So from what I've been able to get, it says, quote, "Let me say finally that we must all maintain faith in the future. As we struggle to make justice a reality, We do not struggle alone, but God struggles with us. The God that we worship is not some word I couldn't describe. Since right departed is stronger than evil triumphant. So I can say more than ever before, we shall overcome. I feel like for anyone who's really familiar with the writings and speeches of Dr. King, this is right up his wheelhouse.
So when was the letter written, Matt?
So it looks like it was written pre-1965. It seems like it might be a bit of a draft. And so when I was doing my transcribing and writing some of the lines to see if it compared to some of his other speeches that we could put up, the We Shall Overcome speech was the one that was coming up the most. So this could potentially just be a draft of that, or he might have used some of these ideas or formulated these ideas and then used them later on for that. But that seems the most likely.
When I saw this, I almost cried.
Right.
You know, really, just to see this particular piece. And what's this right here? It seems like almost a stain on the
left. It does look like it's a, yeah, so it looks like if you're looking at the left part of the page, it looks like it's got a stain probably from some spilt coffee or a drink of some sort. When, as a historian, when you're looking at items like this, you're taking in as much of it as you can to go, okay, what is this? And so I'm thinking it's a draft of a speech because it's got those ellipses in there. It's got this stain going up the entire left-hand side of it that, if I had to take a guess, probably coffee, just due to the kind of dark brown complexion that it gave.
Yes, he obviously was typing and then decided to write, you know, actually in cursive.
Yeah, so he wrote in cursive his some additional ideas. Like I said, this pre-65, and it has some connections to the We Shall Overcome speech, which isn't given until 68. So definitely these writings here are a collection of ideas that are brewing, right? They're not fully formed yet. He had to kind of sit on them, think about them, really decide what was going to be the most impactful, because obviously he was a great speaker. You know, his public speeches are some of the most important in American history.
But we shall overcome. And I tell you why. We shall overcome because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice.
The Dr. King document is not available to view at the museum, but you can see an image of it at kmuw.org. Before we go, a few words on Sunday dinner. When my husband and I married 3 years ago, we formed a blended family that includes 5 adult children and their significant others, along with 3 grandchildren and 1 on the way. We're lucky that most of the kids still live in Wichita, but with everyone's busy schedules, it's hard to schedule times when we can be together, so we started Sunday family dinner. Andy and I wrap up each weekend by fixing extra helpings of whatever we have on hand, chicken chili, tacos, gumbo with rice. We let the kids know we'll serve around 6 on Sunday, and whoever's available can come on by. Sometimes we play a board game, sometimes a movie. Sometimes we give grandson Owen his bath and send him home in PJs. What's for dinner doesn't really matter. It's the communal environment and the consistent date, and making family a priority. Thanks for joining us on The Range. Our producers are Beth Golay, Carly Cooper, Jonathan Huber, and Luann Stevens. Our digital producer is Hugo Fan, and Torin Anderson composed our theme music. I'm Suzanne Perez, and this is KMUW, NPR for Wichita.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.